That new game you're buying from GameStop may not be new after all. Is this deceptive? Plus, there's a war game coming out about a recent war. Are you outraged? All that and live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show week of April 12th, 2009. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this net. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
No, there's no tornado out there, guys. Don't worry, everything's fine. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition, an Easter Sunday edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. Happy Easter to those of you who celebrated. If you're listening to us live here on All Games Radio, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night a little bit later on. I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That's all one word. Or you can call us toll-free in North America, 1-866-880-0156. If you're listening to us in the podcast feed, blackwolf@allgames.com is my email address. You can email me about anything. Or you can send us a voicemail or anything. So real quick, I want to make a real quick little addendum about Guitar Hero Metallica. I spoke about it on last week's show, which is probably going to be up on the podcast feed very close to the time that you get this show on the podcast feed. It was one of those weeks. I'm not going to change my grade on it, but I had talked about some of the things in Guitar Hero Metallica that they fixed differently than what they had done in World Tour. And one of the main ones that I forgot to mention about the game, which may affect some people, is that in Guitar Hero Metallica, all of the songs are opened up at the very beginning. So if you go into quick, you buy the game, you put it in your Xbox 360, you drop it in and you spin it up, you go into quick play mode, every song is there. You don't have to play through career to unlock any of them. They're all available from the start. I think that's a good trend. I like that, especially for a game that's as party heavy. Rock Band, take note of that. They have recently, but in the next Rock Bands, take note of that. Unlock all the songs from the beginning without having to put in a code, red, yellow, blue, whatever. So this week I had a chance to play around a little bit with a Nintendo DSi. I did not get one, and spoiler alert, I'm not going to sit here and tell you to get one either, because it really doesn't bring enough new to the, it doesn't bring anything new to the table that you probably would use longer than an hour. We played around on my other show, Friday Night Gaming. We played around with the photo and the sound stuff that's on it, and that's it. We played with it and we're done with it. You might get an hour's worth of enjoyment with some of the features that are in the DS. The browser is not that bad, but it's also not that great either. If you're really looking for a browser on the go, I'm still partial to the one that's in the iPod Touch myself, in terms of a mobile browser that works over any Wi-Fi access point. The DS will do the job, but I'm not too... It didn't win me over. Let's put it that way. I did not get a chance to play any of the DSi games that were on DSiWare, unfortunately. That functionality is there, and it really depends on what games are going to be coming out that only work on the DSi. Hopefully Mother 3, maybe. Hopefully. Hey, guys, remember that, Mother 3? You can release it on that, and then I will buy a DSi if they put Mother 3 on the DSiWare store. The points are not transferable, so if I already have points sitting on my Wii, I can't put those towards DSi points, even though they initially called them Nintendo points. Kind of confusing me on that, and, then there's friend codes and all that stuff. But basically, all the DSi is, it's a new firmware, and it's an upgradable firmware. So those of you with R4s or any other type of flash memory device used to get around the DS's firmware, you're going to start playing the same cat and mouse game that that the Wii people are playing. I'm not saying it's never going to happen. I'm not saying you're never going to be able to hack the DSi or anything like that. It's just it's going to be a cat and mouse game between the hackers and Nintendo, whereas with the R4 and the DS, it was like, hey, it works. You know, there's nothing Nintendo can do about it. So my official thing is, if you don't have a DS and there are games that you want on the system, go ahead and get a DSi. It's going to be your only choice very soon. Remember, no Game Boy Advance slot on it, so you can't play like Guitar Hero on it, and you can't play any of your old Game Boy Advance games. But if you do have a DS and don't really think you need to have a 1.3 megapixel camera on your DS, and you don't need a sound recorder and stuff like that, I'd say, you know, just wait. You don't need the DSi yet. Some people are going to just have to have it day one just because it's new and it's sky blue or something. But there's really no point, no reason to go really rush out and get one. And I actually said the same thing about the DS Lite. The only reason I have a DS Lite is because it was a Christmas present. But I was very happy and content with my DS Fat. The screens are a little bit bigger when you put them side by side with the DS Lite, but not so noticeable. Like it's the only way I would have noticed that they were any bigger was if it was actually next to the DS Lite, because they don't seem all that much bigger. And actually, one of the things that some people were wanted us to do, and we did this, we actually took the same game and we loaded them in both. And we started them and we hit the little icon at the same time on both the DS and, DS Lite and the DSi. The DS Lite actually loaded us 1 second quicker. So it's actually a quicker load time on the DS Lite, at least in the one time we tried it. We didn't like do like best 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5. It wasn't a fighting game tournament, but we tried that and we found that the DS Lite actually boots the game quicker than you would from on the DSi. So that may be something to consider too, depending on how ADD you are and how quickly you have to get into the game. Some of the things is, you know, it does interface with people who have DS Lites. PictoChat works between DS Lites and DSi. You can still play games over the ad hoc network. You can still download titles. Just like, and in fact, the screen for the download play actually is the exact same one that's on the DS. It brings up the old clock and the old calendar and everything. So that stuff still works. You cannot save to the memory, though. So I don't know if maybe the Wii Shop channel is going to change some different ways so you can save demos, or if they're going to just put those on the DSiWare store. But the current like way where you get demos from the Wii, you're not going to be able to save those. You still, once you turn off the DSi, you still lose whatever's in memory. If you'd got it through download play. But who knows, that may change with the DSiWare store if they're going to put demos on that, and maybe you will be able to keep those. I don't know. And, you know, there's no DSi-specific game cartridges out yet. There will be, and they will be region-locked. We did put Daigaso Band Brothers, which was going to be Jam with the Band here, but we put that in the DSi. Worked like a charm. It's a Japanese game. But apparently the DSi games will not work. But basically, I mean, if you've got a DS Lite, there's really no real reason to go run out and get a DSi until they release Mother 3 on the DSiWare console, and then everybody should go pick it up. Game Guru says, I got 26 games downloaded for my Wii, and I would buy a DSi for old Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance games. Oh, and Game Gear and Neo Geo Pocket Color. And, you know, a virtual handheld would be kind of cool. And I mean, hell, I mean, why not, you know, put like NES and SNES games on there too? I mean, I would get a DSi if I could transfer some of my virtual console purchases over there, because I know it can handle Super Nintendo games. So why can't, you know, I bought Super Mario RPG on WiiWare. Why can't I put that on my DSi, you know, and take it with me on the go? Sully907 says, since we didn't actually play with this part, they say the Wii to DS demos work flawlessly. All you have to do is queue them up and then turn on the DS and it finds the demo. It's really intuitive. All right. Sully907 also says that Bobby is such a Mother 3 fanboy. Damn right, I want Mother to be over here. So that's my opinion on the Nintendo DSi. It's only as good as the games that are on it, and all the games that are on it are available on the DS right now. So, can't really comment any more on it. So let's talk about some news. First off, I wanted to send condolences. I actually got the name right here. I've got everything sitting here, so I don't mess up the name. But a father of gaming as we know it today lost his battle with cancer. The Associated Press reported that Dave Arneson, who is one of the co-creators of Dungeons & Dragons and a pioneer of role-playing entertainment, died after a two-year battle with cancer. His family said Thursday he was 61. Malia Winhagen of Maplewood said her father died peacefully Tuesday in hospice care in St. Paul. Arneson and Gary Gygax developed Dungeons & Dragons in 1974 using medieval characters and mythical creatures. The game is known for its oddly shaped dice became a hit, particularly among teenage boys. Hey, I was one of them. It eventually turned into video games, books, and movies. Gygax died in March of 2008. It was only last year that we lost Gary Gygax. A statement from Wizards of the Coast says, quote, Arneson developed many of the fundamental ideas of role-playing, that each player controls just one hero, that heroes gain power through adventures, and that personality is as important as combat prowess, unquote. So basically, you know, Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson, they were big, you know, tabletop war, you know, fleet gamers, board gamers, war gamers like that, kind of like what you see like Warhammer 40K today. That's what they were big into. And then they, you know, kind of adapted that to work with smaller parties. Instead of controlling entire troops, now you're controlling yourself in a party doing adventures, and Dave Arneson was a big part of that. You know, Gary Gygax gets a lot of the credit, but really, you know, it took two of them to make it, and it's a basis of a lot of games today. Leveling up is seen even in more than just RPGs. You know, Call of Duty, you have a leveling system and a level up system and experience points and stuff. That all started with these guys. So, you know, I know this is an old joke. I did it last year, but, you know, I have to hang on. Yeah, I'm going to miss him. My THACO sucked. So, condolences to your family, Dave Arneson, and thanks for everything. So, back into video games, GameStop. Now, this, to me, wasn't really news, but Kotaku reported on it, and it made waves. And I asked some people on Twitter, you can follow me at Bobby Blackwolf, all one word, over at Twitter, because there was so much news coming out this week that I didn't know which ones to cover, so I was kind of getting some feelers out on Twitter to see what people actually wanted to hear about. And this was one of them, was about this practice at GameStop. Now, Kotaku report about the practice of GameStop of lending new copies of games to employees at their store and then later selling those games as new unused copies, and it might be a violation of federal law. The checkout policy there, confirmed at Kotaku by a number of chains, managers, and employees, could fall under scrutiny of the Federal Trade Commission. My girlfriend worked there for some time, and she actually did check out a few games that were gutted. I think we actually got to try 99 Nights due to that. So she was able to check out games that were gutted, and basically what it is when they get some games, they have to put a box on the shelf, and so what they do is they gut the game, quote-unquote, where that way they can have the game on the shelf, but the CD's not in it. And then they put others back behind the back behind them on the desk. Big glass cabinet behind them, or sometimes even way in the back of the store. These gutted copies are still new. And what they'll do is, you know, people can check out these gutted copies, and then when they return the gutted copies, they just get put filed back in with all the new games. So they get sold to you as new. And even a long time ago, now I wanted the game so badly, so I didn't really put up too much of a fight, but I had to pay for a game new that had actually been sitting in their demo console for weeks. The game was actually Guitar Man for the PlayStation 2. It had just come out, and this is a while ago. This was actually back in Software Etc. days. But the game was sitting in the game console there for weeks, and we had been playing it and playing it. I'm like, you know what? I want to buy it. And so I'm like, okay. And they're like, okay. And they went over to the game console and took it out of the game console. I'm like, wait a minute. This has been in your game console. Like, yeah, this is the only copy we have. And I'm like, and I'm paying new for it? Yeah. It's a new game. But it's been in the game console. Oh, we took care of it. You know, and they wouldn't sell it to me used, but the game was getting to be rare at that point. And, you know, they didn't know if they were getting any more copies because it didn't really get a second pressing, unfortunately. So I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. And this was back in Software Etc. days. And so that's kind of how old it's been whenever Guitar Man came out. But they've been doing that for a while. And apparently now I guess it's illegal and people are trying to contact the FTC and they don't know if there's going to be an investigation about this, about games that are gutted and, you know, played and then put on the shelf and sold as new. You know, could that be deceptive business practices? Have you ever gone in and, you know, sometimes I'll say, you know, do you have one that's behind the counter that hasn't been opened? You know, and sometimes I'll say that, or, you know, if it's a very hot title, you know, they've got copies in the back, and they don't, they always give away, at least to me, it seems that they give away the gutted copy as the last one. Like, that's the last one they have is the gutted copy. So it's not like, I don't think it's as widespread as these articles make it seem, because really they only got like one or two copies, and if they've got 30 copies of a game, they're not going to sell you the one that's gutted first. They're going to sell you those other 18 that are sitting in the back taking up space before they'll sell you the one that's on the shelf. Travis said, I bought a new copy of Metal Gear Portable Ops, and they took one of their discs and popped it in the box. I thought it was new, and quote, it new is in quotes. Now, I haven't talked to my girlfriend about it. I don't know if, like, you couldn't rent if... I thought that there might have been, like, a 30-day policy where, like, you could not check out a game that had been released in the last 30 days. I don't know if that was the case. I know, like, when I worked at Blockbuster Video way long time ago, we were allowed to rent games. In fact, we actually got five free rentals a week. Because they wanted us to stay current on the latest movies and stuff like that. But I used them all for games. But we were not allowed to rent games that had come out in the last 30 days at Blockbuster. So, but that's a little bit different because those are rentals, and I'm just renting it through their system. I'm just not paying for it. But I don't know if there's a 30-day limit at some GameStops or at all of them. Travis also says it happens about 50% of the times that he goes there, that he gets a gutted copy rather than a new sealed copy. Sully907 talks about Guitar Man, says he rented it and couldn't beat the Space Shark level. Not many people can beat the Space Shark level. I hate that level. That level can die in a fire. If you want a good rhythm action game that's not like any of the rhythm action games on the market, Guitar Man, if you can find it, is a good one. Eastwatt says, how can you stay current if you can't rent new games? I guess talking about the Blockbuster policy. You could still rent them, you just had to pay for them. The stuff that's in 30-day, you couldn't get... Stuff in the 30-day you couldn't get for free as a part of your five free rentals. But, I mean, I had, like, a separate account, and I would actually pay. But remember, this was also 1995 when I was working for Blockbuster, long time ago. Back when we did Donkey Kong Country tournaments for the Super Nintendo. I was working that summer, if anybody remembers that. And then Judge Dredd was the Genesis tournament. We had two running. So, yeah, I mean, it's a common policy. I don't know if this falls into the most not news of the week, because I kind of thought everybody knew about this. Like, I knew about it a while ago. But, yeah, so there it is out there, and it'll be interesting to see if the FTC does look into it to see if it is something that is deceptive. But then, you know, that wonders, you know, what happens, you know, if it goes to that, then, you know, they may not be allowed to gut copies in the front. And that's they do that for security reasons, so people don't just pick up the game and walk out the store with it. Even CC Gaming, actually, that we work with on Friday nights, all their stuff is gutted. All their CDs and stuff, everything gutted, but then again, they also don't sell new games. Their new games are not gutted. The new games they have, they're in the shrink wrap up on the top shelf, so it's very hard to get to them. But, they got all their stuff. It's a security measure, and I wouldn't expect to see the games still in the packaging where people can just walk out with them, especially in like a mall environment. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what happens if they're not allowed to sell that one game because it's been gutted. I don't know. Because they got to have the box out on the front because people want to look at the back of the box. So one last news story. This one is kind of a big one, and I'm going to try to touch on it a little bit. It's about wargaming. And war games are very popular out there. You know, Call of Duty 4 is termed one of the best first-person shooters, right now. Call of Duty World at War is another good one that a lot of people, and that's based in World War II. There's so many World War II shooters out there. So somebody actually decided that they were going to make a shooter about a current war, and apparently it's too soon. The Los Angeles Times reports that there have been books, movies, and poetry, and even rap songs coming out of the war in Iraq. Now there's going to be a video game based on the November 2004 battle in the Iraqi town of Fallujah that left 38 U.S. troops dead and an estimated 1,200 insurgents dead. The idea for the game, called 6 Days in Fallujah, came from U.S. Marines who returned from the battle with video, photos, and diaries of their experiences. Instead of dialing up Steven Spielberg to make a movie version of their stories, they turned to Atomic Games, a company in Raleigh, North Carolina, that makes combat simulation software for the military. John Kuhn, the senior brand manager for the game at Konami Digital Entertainment in El Segundo, the publisher, says, quote, "The soldiers wanted to tell their stories through a game because that's what they grew up playing," unquote. So basically what's going on is that there are people that are outraged by this. There are people that are hopeful by this. There are people that think that this is going to dishonor them. And I want to know what people here think, if this is something that interests you. It doesn't interest me because I don't play shooters. So, I mean, I wouldn't buy the game anyway, no matter if it was taking place in Fallujah or in, you know, Mars. It's just not my type of game. So I wanted to kind of gauge what people here were thinking, if it was going to be something they were interested in. They did say that they're trying to make the game, quote-unquote, entertaining, I believe, which is, and some people don't like that, even though World War II games, people say, are highly entertaining. But that was, you know, a long time ago. So I guess it's okay. But this was only 5 years ago, and there are people still hurt from the losses in that war. And, you know, I want to know what people here think about it. I've got quotes from a whole bunch of people for and against sitting here, but I'm not going to read those. I'd rather read from our chat room, chat.allgames.com. Game Guru says, are the veterans for the game to be made? There's a couple answers to that. A, the game is actually being made by some veterans that were actually in that battle. But there are some that don't like it, and there are some that are actually hopeful that it may show accurately what happened and, you know, gain more respect for the military. But there it depends. You know, they're not one cohesive group. There are veterans that are for something and other veterans that are against that exact same thing. So it's, you can't lump them all into one thing. What Up G asks, is the problem that it's too soon to bring out a game about that event? And that's the thing that I question, is why are games being treated differently? I bet a movie about it would be seen as good. You know, and there are movies about the Iraq War out right now. You know, as long as they're not starring John Cena. But there are movies out there about the Iraq War that people aren't protesting. And, you know, what makes a game that much different? I think it's because it's a game. And people are still thinking that games are toys for kids rather than an acceptable storytelling device. Butchkawa says, if it's really through soldiers, then it's nothing like the war games we have now. I would think it's more like writing a book for them. And it could be. There are some games, you know, like Full Spectrum Warrior was actually done by the military as well. I mean, they worked with a civilian company to make it, but, you know, it's something like that. And, you know, America's Army, people play America's Army, and that's current wars. MXT asks, is Saddam Hussein the final boss with a minigame between levels of whack Osama when you hit Osama bin Laden and knock him back into his hole? There's probably flash games about that. Game Guru asks, well, are these veterans the ones that actually participated in the battle? Yes, I can read that part again. The idea for the game came from U.S. Marines who returned from the battle with videos, photos, and diaries of their experiences. So the game is actually made from the experiences of people actually in the battle. It's other veterans that are against it, and probably, you know, the families of some of those 38 that sadly did not make it through. Eastwatt says, I'm up for a war game that actually puts gravity on the situation it's set in instead of trivializing them with an arcadey, all your teammates are enemy fodder feel. Kitsune says, games are different because you are actually interacting with it. And that's the argument I hear a lot, is that, you know, the reason that games are different is because you're not just idly sitting there consuming the entertainment and not doing anything. You're actually doing something. Your mind is actually working, and you're working through things, and that's why they say it's different. That's why they say a violent game is a lot worse than a violent movie. You know, heaven forbid we have a game where you cut off the arm of your protagonist. That would be terrible. But every kid in the world's seen Star Wars, and they don't see it as horrible. Travis says that you can't put a time limit on what is acceptable, though. And, you know, it's one of those, is it too soon, you know? And there are some things, you know, like what, like the Trade Center towers falling. You know, there was a lot of talk about when is it too soon to make a movie based on that. You know, so you know, there are like movies, they some things have, you know, issues like that. Now, I would not want to see a game about taking down the towers, but, you know, that's just me. But, I mean, when is it too soon to make, or when is it time to be able to make something out of it? And, you know, I remember that some people were, back when the Vietnam War games came out, everybody was like, oh, is it too soon for the Vietnam games? And we're fine with it now. What Up GA says, that begs a question. What could be put in a game that would absolutely go over the line? Baby killing. I think baby killing and child killing is what kind of goes over the line. So Travis also says double standards. And yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, there's double standards between movies and games. And, you know, I can't wait for games to be taken as a serious of an art form as movies and books and even graphic novels nowadays. Because, I mean, I bet it'd be okay to make a graphic novel about Fallujah or things going on in Iraq. And, you know, I do want to say that I do support our troops. I come from a military family. My nephew is currently at the Citadel right now, training. He's ready to go. He's waiting to go over to Iraq. I don't want to see that happen, but that's because he's family. And my brother drove a tank in the first Iraq war. So, you know, I support our troops. I support all of them. And I hope they do get to come home safely. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then I'm going to take your calls and read more comments about the topics we've spoken about tonight. So if you're listening to us in the podcast feed, you won't be able to hear this music, but it's for the live listeners. And then we will be back. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio online at allgames.com.
Hello, this is DS Master 25, a.k.a. El Ruspo 2.0. Hope Barack Obama fails, and you're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show. Welcome back.
Opinions in said bumpers are of those who made the bumper only, and not those of the show, the network. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Bobby Blackwell Show. If you want to leave a bumper, preferably one that's not all politically charged and everything, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. You can leave me a voicemail, and I will put some music behind it. Needed some Leisure Suit Larry with how over the top that one was. Thank you, DS Master, for that. Or you can send me an MP3 of your voice, blackwolf@allgames.com, and I'll put some music behind it. Eastwad asked during the break, you know, what about the Half-Life 2 mod Insurgency? Would the same families have a problem with that? And the thing was, that wasn't, yeah, they got jobs out of it because I asked them if they made money on it. But I think what they're upset at is that Konami is going to be making money off of this story. And they don't want that. I think that's what they're upset about, is that somebody is profiting from the loss of their child. So, and I mean, I can understand that. I mean, it's you know, families are a very powerful thing. So. Yeah. I'm going to go and open up our phone lines before I dig myself in a deeper hole. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 is where you can call in toll-free in North America for and give me your opinions on anything going on in the gaming industry. If there was something we didn't cover tonight that you felt we should cover, feel free to call in and talk about it. There was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff that happened this week that we didn't get to. That's why I asked on Twitter what people wanted to hear. So we do have a call here. So Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Spazinator.
Spazinator, what is on your mind tonight, man?
I just wanted to more or less comment on what you were just talking about regarding the Iraq War game.
Yeah.
Now this is just me more or less talking out my arse here, but mm-hmm. Personally, I think that these naysayers are basically overreacting a bit. I mean, ultimately, it's just a video game. Granted, you know, video games compared to, like, movies and books and all, they are still, relatively speaking, a new medium. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, video games, though, as a storytelling device, are just as valid as any other form of media. And, you know, most people, you know, our age, you know, basically grew up playing games, you know, whether it be on the Genesis or Super Nintendo or NES or Atari or what have you. So, I mean, that's what we like. That's what we like to play. And, hey, you know, if there's a demand for something, you know, companies are going to make it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, And plus, you know, like what you were saying, you know, these soldiers want to tell their story, you know, and, you know, they don't want to be bothered with the movie, you know, they want to do the game, so, hey, you know what they say, whatever floats your boat, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that it's another kind of step for the gaming industry to try to be taken seriously, because, you know, like I said, people still assume games are for kids, you know, and they're supposed to be fun and enjoyable, and there's an entire genre of games that's not meant to be fun and enjoyable. They're called serious games, and, you know, I think that, you know, if they could do this where they're telling a story and it's in a compelling fashion, maybe not necessarily entertaining, but in a compelling fashion, to get their story out to the younger generation, the ADD masses, I guess, that are into playing the shooters, then, you know, that I think would be a good thing for everybody involved. I think just people just don't understand.
You know, the thing is, you know, on a related note, you know, I kind of hate to say it, but, you know, this kind of thing you kind of tend to kind of see, you know, all the time, you know, I mean, this kind of thing has been going on for a couple hundred years, if you want to go back that far. You know, every time, like, a new concept or invention or line of thought comes out, you know, anything new comes out, you know, the older generation, older generations, you know, will claim that, you know, this new thing is going to be the downfall of Western civilization, and, you know, it's going to corrupt our youth, whereas, you know, the younger generation will quickly adopt it. You know, you've seen this kind of thing with, like, more recently with, you know, Elvis and Beatles, if you want to go further back, and the invention of movies and TV, radio, the telephone, the cotton gin, all that stuff. When anything new comes out, people want to turn whatever it is into a scapegoat. You know, it's just a kind of a sad fact of life, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I mean, Elvis's hips were going to destroy America's youth. Just his hips. That's why they couldn't show his hips. But and it always happens. I mean, even Dungeons and Dragons, you know, trying to bring it back to that. That was considered devil worship. And, you know, it was satanic cults and stuff. They were the only ones that played Dungeons and Dragons. And, you know, I played it as a kid, and I think I turned out okay. And now nobody thinks of Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, you know, they when they think of Dungeons and Dragons being a satanic cult thing, they think about the Tom Hanks movie Maces and Monsters, which was just like a hatchet job on D&D. It was kind of sad.
Yeah, ultimately, you know, again, this is just me talking out my arse here, but, you know, people got to bear in mind that, you know, our society as a whole never stays stagnant. You know, values change, and new inventions and technologies and forms of entertainment are constantly coming out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to, you know, either accept it, roll with the punches, and maybe even adopt it, but not necessarily, but ultimately accept what's going to happen. And if you have really nothing nice to say, just, you know, more or less keep your mouth shut, you know. I mean, if that wasn't the case, then basically we would be living the same kind of life as our ancestors maybe 200, 300 years ago, you know.
Yeah, and GK128 in our chat room just says that censorship is the issue here. No matter what you do, someone is going to be offended. I think they should be able to do what they want, no matter how tasteless. People will buy it and people will ignore it, keep it out of the wrong hands, and everything is cool. And even the developers of this said, you know, if you don't like the idea of this game, don't spend your money on it. Spend your money elsewhere. So thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Have a good one.
Thank you. And, I mean, speaking of, like, tasteless stuff, things that go over bounds, I think DR4Ever in our chat room asked about the Rape Simulator game that was on Amazon Rayplay, I guess, which we didn't cover on this show because that's not really a U.S. video game. It was a game that one was kind of interesting, that it was a game sold in Japan, bought by somebody here, and then they decided that they wanted to get rid of it, so they put it up on, you know, kind of like eBay. And now they're, you know, attacking Amazon.com for listing it, which they did immediately delist it. But that's like, you know, now I bet there's going to be bills about this, you know, game to stop this game from being sold to children when it's not being sold here. You know, and kind of like there was the game a while ago, which was about, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head because it's gone, but it was basically you tried to recreate the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And basically it was their idea, which was a British company that made this game. It was a British game, never sold on the stores in the U.S. It was only sold online. Their idea was to show that it was either impossible or possible to only for there only to be one gunman. It was about the whole, you know, who shot JFK thing. And it was like, can you do exactly what they claim that Lee Harvey Oswald did? And they, you know, there was so much outrage, and there were actually bills passed in the U.S. because of this game, which was never sold in America in the first place. And I think I bet the same thing's going to happen with this game. Some random person decides to put that, you know, this Daojin game up on Amazon.com, and the American video game industry is attacked for it. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 is our toll-free number in North America. GK120 says, thanks to that game, Amazon is now delisting anything with, quote, offensive content. Travis says, they can release a show like The Wire and call it a masterpiece and a work of art. You release a game on the same concepts, it's poisoning our youth. Sully907 says, I wonder what new technology that our kids embrace that we will hate like the older generation does. I'm thinking holograms. I'll be that old guy that's like, damn those kids and their holograms. Now, back in my day, everybody was in 2D. We watched things on a TV in 2D, and we liked it that way. We didn't have to touch them. So we do have another call here coming in, so I'm going to go ahead and take it. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. It's Staff Sergeant Preston Evans. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Preston? Better known as XenoCore.
Yeah, man. This whole thing about the Fallujah game.
Right.
I think a lot of this is just our standard knee-jerk reaction.
Okay.
To tell you the truth. I mean, if you take it, like, for instance, when Stephen Bosco had that one show Over There come out, which was based on the Iraq battle currently going on, you know, being shown on live TV in a dramatic form, and people were outraged over that, when it was really just projecting different points of view on the subject. And, of course, that series got killed, and I haven't seen any DVDs or anything like that since then. I think it's gone into oblivion since then. I could be wrong, but I haven't seen anything because I've been looking for it. I actually like that show. But as far as long as the game itself portrays the soldiers in an actual situation, not one that's glorified one way or the other, just what actually happened, I don't think troops will have a problem with it. Overall, I mean, yes, I mean, there's an exception to every rule, but I think the troops will be cool as long as they honestly show what happened.
Right.
And anybody who's not directly involved in that, for as far as I'm concerned, has no say whatsoever.
Right.
Anybody who isn't a military brat or a member of a military family who's gone through a loss or something like that, you know, truly does not have the right point of view to examine that game. All they have is their point of view. Especially if they've had nobody in their family that's ever served, how in the world could you know what the impact is? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, whether it's the religious right or whatever saying, oh, showing a video game about war is wrong, or it's wrong to profit from that. It's history now. People profit from history every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a moot comment as far as I'm concerned. So I say, as long as you do a decent job of representing what actually happened there, and maybe give some sort of feedback as far as what's going on in the battle, you know, to where you actually have an impact from it, I'm all for it.
And I mean, that's, you know, I'm kind of thinking that because it is backed by members of the military who actually did serve in that battle, and it's they're kind of overseeing it. I think that it's going to go in that kind of direction, the way that you think that it should. Are you interested in seeing what this game is all about?
Yeah, I mean, the only way to truly weigh the game is to see what they're trying to do. So until if it's into a more complete form, nobody can really say anything.
Yep. Yep. So I'm glad you called in. I wanted to, you know, hear what you had to say about it, because I know that you're currently in the military, and thank you for your service. I don't know if I've said that to you before.
Yes, you have, and I'll take it again.
All right. Anything else on your mind?
Yeah.
Okay.
The passing of one of the great paper and pencil role-playing creators of all time, is poignant because we really don't have that many of them left.
Right.
As far as noteworthy ones. I mean, only the people who really play paper and pencil games know these guys. But some of the systems these guys devise are way more complicated than anything that ever has been created for video gaming so far.
Right.
I mean, you thought the stat system for Final Fantasy was complicated. Let's not get into Rollmaster, okay?
Right.
I think you need a calculus degree to actually make a character, let alone play the game. So,
oh yeah, I mean, I remember because I mean I did a lot of pen and paper stuff, and you know, I even to me second edition seemed like it simplified some things for me, which was great. But you know, first edition to D&D, I mean, yeah, I couldn't follow that. I had to play second edition when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. So if I could encourage anybody in the community who actually wants to pursue a career in gaming, whether it be from the design standpoint or just putting something together, the best blueprint you can use is actually grabbing one of these traditional paper and pencil games and see if you can put together a campaign.
Yes. Right?
The job of the game master is exactly the same as a lead designer in a video game. If you can put together something that's compelling, makes people want to play it, you know, and everybody has fun with it, you are well on your way to learning what you need to do on the back end to know how to design a good game.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got friends that can do that. Like, a lot of my friends out here, they do a weekly game. And, I mean, they'll do the same campaign, and it's all a custom campaign by one guy, you know, for, you know, 2 years and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they actually continue talking about it. Like, when I see them, you know, like on Saturday night or something, we go out to celebrate a friend's birthday or something, they're talking about their game, and they're talking about the characters, and they're talking about what they're going to do in the downtime between this and the next time, or, you know, what type of strategies they're going to come up with. If you can do that, you're going to do really well in game design, because that really is, I mean, you're right, that's kind of the cornerstone. And, you know, or at least just play, that's my dice bag. Get a dice bag, find a group of people who play. Some public libraries actually have gaming groups if you don't have a tabletop gaming group around, and try to get into that.
Or just go to your crappy local gaming store. I mean, there's bound to be one in every decent town somewhere later, whether it's large or small, that'll have a few games in there. Even if you just browse at it, look at how the game is put together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rules behind why they have this the way they do. Like, I mean, D&D is easy enough. Yeah. But, I mean, I have a publications bag from when I used to be a flyer full of gaming books. I mean, I have everything from the Palladium system, which is complicated enough as it is, to the Earthdawn system made by FASA, same guys who did MechWarrior. They got lots of other games in there. I mean, the difference in all way all these systems work, where their strengths and weaknesses are, just reading those books alone will give you a basis to design anything you want, going from first-person shooters to role-playing games, drama-based, you know, situational-type stuff. It's the best resource you could use.
Yeah, and I mean, if you really want to get really geeky, you can talk about, you know, trying to combine two systems together and how you can get them to work together. I had a friend
Good Lord, we'll be here all night.
I know, but I mean, I actually had a friend, I don't think he really succeeded, but he really tried to merge, I don't know how many in our audience would get this. He merged the World of Darkness with Shadowrun.
That's scary.
It was.
That's like, you have to wear black all day just to be able to do that. You would be emo 24/7.
And I played a Decker.
Oh, if only half you folks actually knew what that was.
Thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, Bobby. Take it easy.
So that's it. That's all I'm going to inflict on you guys tonight. Coming up after us here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento who I don't know if they played a lot of tabletop games, but they talk about video games at least. And they come on right after us. Usually we try to check in to see what they're talking about, see what they're doing. So, Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we are. Hi, Bobby. How you doing?
Doing good. Did you guys ever are you guys tabletop gamers? Do you guys have a dice bag like I do right here?
That would be me.
Darkseid is probably the biggest nerd of the three of us. But I did dabble in D&D a little bit in high school. And actually a little bit recently, my ex and I used to play with a small group of about five people. So, that was like my 3.0 experience, but we used to do old school 2.0.
That was my Friday night gaming back in college.
I used to do 8 games 6 days a week.
Wow.
Total. When I was in college.
Nerd.
You beat me.
And I LARPed. I admit it.
I LARP too, which gets me in trouble sometimes when I mention that.
I was in Mobile, Alabama. What else was there for me to do except go to New Orleans?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, there was big LARPing around here, too. But, you know, one other exposure I had to the old school Dungeons & Dragons games, I don't know if – or the Dungeons & Dragons were the games that they would put out on, like, Commodore 64. They actually used to have, like, these games that would come out that were pretty epic.
Yeah, the SSI games.
Yep, yep.
Those were good.
I used to play in D&D. My character was actually based off of the villain in Kyrandia. I don't know if you remember the evil jester.
You used to do D&D too, Loki?
A long time ago.
I never realized that. That makes us all nerds. Congratulations, everybody.
Now I have to ask Jamie this. Did you LARP with rock, paper, scissors or with boffer weapons?
They preferred rock, paper, scissors, but we had an option.
Okay. Because I did the rock, paper, scissors method. I was in the World of Darkness LARPing back in the day.
That's what we did, but if it was something that had been... there was a couple of times where they'd have choreographed stuff that was meant for storytelling purposes. And so it wasn't necessarily a conflict, but it was, you know, something that was used to progress the point.
For the non-nerds out there, I'll explain what boffer weapons are. Boffer weapons are PVC pipe wrapped in duct tape, and you hit people with them. They were made out to look like swords and battle axes and stuff like that. So that's what boffer weapons are.
We've had Nerf.
That's not as good as boffer weapons.
Who uses the little bags where they put little fuzzy material in the bags and they throw the little bags at people for magic spells?
Same one as the boffer weapons. I think like Nero and Solar are the two that I can think of here in the Southeast. I don't know if those were everywhere else national. But,
you know where I heard about that, of all places? An episode of Wife Swap where they switched some motivational speaker lady. I was really bored one night, okay? And all my games, I didn't feel like playing. They switched some motivational speaker lady with a LARPer. She was this, you know, older lady who still LARPed, and she was explaining how she made the spells, and I was actually thinking, you know, that's actually kind of creative.
Yeah, we actually did that at one guy's wedding because we had all the rice bags. Instead of, you know, throwing the rice, we just pelted them with the rice bags.
Oh, wow. You go to the Ren Fair too, Bobby?
No, I've actually never been to a Ren Fair.
Ren Fairs are fun. But so let me ask you then, what was your first tabletop game?
Probably D&D Second Edition.
Mine was Rifts, the game you need a graphing calculator to play.
Yep.
Wow. You guys are like the ultimate nerds. But that's y'all are in good company. This is a nerdy thing to be doing, listening to these shows on the internet and, you know, just spreading love about video games and sometimes hate when it's deserved.
I'm trying to actually think what it was that I was playing when I was doing 8 games a week. I think it was a couple of D&D, a werewolf, a vampire, a changeling game, Rifts, and I want to say we did Call of Cthulhu until we just decided that the best way to end that game was to scream out, you know, your rival's god and insult them and then throw yourself off a building.
Yeah.
That's the point of Call of Cthulhu, is just to die.
Yeah.
Did you ever?
Super does.
Go ahead, Bobby.
No, I just said because everybody does. That's it.
Did you ever play the Buffy the Vampire Slayer RPG?
Yes, I did.
I did not.
That's the one I remember that you played.
The last long-running camp, when I started playing with my friend Becky and her husband and all them, and Becky was on the show, we actually were doing a Buffy game, combining the Buffy and Angel, you know, books, because there's some stuff that's better written in the other. You know, but I remember the other game I was playing was Champions.
Wow.
The other role playing games I played, which were weird, I actually played the Project Aiko role playing game.
Played that too.
If anyone remembers that, that's awesome with the Colonel. And then also, as I think I mentioned on the show before, Fuzzy Heroes, which is like a, you know, almost like one of those tabletop miniatures game, but you play it with stuffed animals.
All I have to say is that none of you all get to tease me about World of Warcraft ever again. That's all
I
have to say.
Except, Rob, you know why we can tease you?
Why?
We went home.
It's true.
I'm at home when I play.
Yeah, but we left the game eventually.
These games are only one night a week or one night a month.
I left, too, for, like, a few months.
Uh-huh. Addict.
Addict. Need an intervention.
Maybe a little bit. I need to be wife swapped to wake myself up. So yeah, tonight's Orange Lounge Radio. We got lots of fun stuff planned. We're going to be taking a look on our Justin TV feed on the video tonight at a Japanese import game.
Aboro Muramasa.
And is it coming over here?
Yeah, in June. Muramasa the Demon Blade.
So it's kind of like a little sneak peek from the overseas copy from Japan. And talking about the latest and greatest in video game news, as always, with the support of our chat room. Mm-hmm. Which I hope you guys will come on over to our chat during the show, chat.orangeloungeradio.com.
Yep. So they're up next, orangeloungeradio.com. Thanks so much, guys. Have a good show.
Thank you, Bobby. Take care.
So that's it for us here at the Bobby Blackwell Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio at allgames.com, where you can join us live and interact with the show directly, or Friday nights, Friday Night Gaming, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at fnglive.net and also here on All Games Radio. That's a TV show. You can actually see what we look like and see why I don't have a webcam on during the radio show. Feel free to leave us a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper, preferably not politically charged, here on the show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwell Show. You can email me your thoughts and opinions at blackwolf@allgames.com, or you can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters: ChrisPhil1724, DC Nate, Derek H, GK128, Hendrix, the Rob D, Burr, Eswat, Funnydale, Kitsune, Maximilian, Octocamo, Stone Raider, THK, Tigerclaw, Toshin, Wylan, Ake Ripper, AlphaBox, AlphaCananagram, Alt, Amaze Satsuma, AshFox, BaconBits, Binary667, Blue22, Butchikawa, Channel Z, Cedabria, Crispy, Dark Tetsuya, DeBlueGuy, DJ Dark Knight, D-Man, DRP223, FireCube, GameGuru, Gunstar Silver, Havoc978, Hecht, Henderson Man, Hey Jude, Hitstun, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Karate Georgie, Cousin, L Frost, Melted General, Mike INOZ, new listener, thank you, Mike W, MXT, Necromoss, No Shiny CD, Prowler38, Punchy, Shadow Next Gen, SSJ100, Matt, Subzy, Swamp Father, Tedekin, TM995, Travis, True, Valerno, VXJSNXV, WhatUpG, Wilcon, Xenocore, Xlink, and DR4Ev. So that's it for us. We'll be back next week. And remember, don't forget your saving throws. See you guys next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.